I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Ballot Talks on Radio Times. There are three vacancies on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. This hasn't happened, apparently, in more than 300 years. In fact, you have to go back to colonial times when it was called the Provincial Appellate Court. Joan Ori Melvin resigned after being convicted of the illegal use of her staff. Seamus McCaffrey retired after being accused of sending and receiving pornographic and sexist emails. And the third opening on the court is the result of the mandatory retirement of Supreme Court Chief Justice Ron Castile. Now, Pennsylvanians vote for judges and justices, which makes the Commonwealth unusual. There was a candidate debate last night, and joining us in this portion of Ballot Talks on Radio Times is WHYY's Dave Davies. He's senior reporter for Newsworks. He also has a blog called Off Mic. And Dave, nice to have you with us, as always, on Radio Times.
Great to be back, Marty.
You were at the debate last night. What was your takeaway?
Well, you know, I have to say, and I've said this on this program before, I think electing judges is a terrible way to select those who make these really important decisions. They can't comment on issues that might come before them, so it's a weird kind of exercise to have them debate one another. But some things did come out. I mean, as Murray Wilson, our Capitol reporter, pointed out, they tended to attack the existing court, which, as you know, has been mired in corruption and sleaze. You know, recently we had
Absolutely.
Justice Ori Melvin had to resign after using her state staff, her judicial staff for political reasons. Judge McCaffrey resigned after there were charges both about troubling pornographic emails as well as alleged self-dealing. There was an agreement made. He got to resign, keep his pension. And now you have Justice Michael Lakin being investigated for more pornographic emails. And so there were a lot of issues there. It was interesting. They all said that last night that issues like this should be dealt with not by the court itself. And this is an interesting thing. In 1993, a constitutional amendment found that a process should be established for dealing with judicial issues. There was a judicial conduct board, which conducts investigation, a court of judicial discipline, which would deal with these. And the Supreme Court, when these issues came up in recent years, just ignored that.
Wow.
And said, we're going to take care of this. We'll do our own investigations. We'll figure out what we want to do and decide what discipline, if any, is warranted. And in the case of Justice McCaffrey, it was a negotiated resignation. They're doing the same thing now with Justice Aiken and the emails. And so the candidates were asked that. They all said, yes, it really should be this independent judicial process, the court of judicial discipline. But when asked, well, what about the McCaffrey deal?
Right.
None would criticize it.
So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me they're very cautious, and if they lose, they're going to continue to be operating in a judicial system and don't want to tick the justices of the Supreme Court off, probably. One of them, David Wecht, a Western Pennsylvania Democrat, did have some things to say about. He has a 5-point ethics plan. One of the things he said was that when there are motions for recusal, when an attorney says, we think, judge, you really shouldn't be hearing this case, you might be surprised to know that these motions and the judge's decisions and reasonings are not part of the public record often. Hmm. And Judge Wecht said, we should make it a part of the public record. It should be completely transparent. Also thought we should have television in courtrooms. So those were a couple of interesting things. Apart from that, there were seven candidates. None of them seemed stupid. I mean, all of them have been sitting judges. And so what you have to go by are bar association recommendations. All but one were recommended or highly recommended by the state bar. The exception is Ann Covey, a Republican from Bucks County, who was found not recommended by the bar. Mm-hmm. That was not an issue of her judicial practice, but a earlier judicial campaign in which the bar found she had not lived up to an earlier pledge about negative campaigning and didn't adequately answer their questions. So you can look at that. You can look eventually at newspaper endorsements, and then you can look at parties. I mean, you got three Republicans and three Democrats and one independent. And to the extent that matters, you can weigh in that way.
And does that matter? Because the issue of redistricting, something that happens every 10 years and can involve the courts.
Of course it matters. I mean, although last night, to a man and woman, all of them said we have to run as parties in this race because that's the system we have in Pennsylvania. But believe me, I have never cast a partisan vote. And once you go into that courtroom, your party affiliation makes no difference whatsoever. And that probably is true a lot of the time for a lot of them. But there are cases in which there is enormous partisan interest, such as voter rights,
sure,
a voter ID law, when redistricting disputes come before the court, that truly affects the interests of the Republican and Democratic parties. And while justices don't have to vote with the party that got them in office, they often tend to. I will note that Justice Ron Castile, who was the Chief Justice and a Republican, shocked everybody a few years ago by rejecting a legislative redistricting deal that was supported by the Republican legislators. So they don't go in lockstep with the parties that got them there, but it matters.
You mentioned recusal. Is that based on the fact that in this state people run for offices in the court? People can make campaign contributions and perhaps appear before that judge that they gave a campaign contribution to and argue their case?
Yeah, happens all the time. I mean, you know, lawyers make significant contributions. I mean, trial lawyers tend to support Democrats more than Republicans because I think the belief is that their judicial rulings will tend to favor plaintiffs' actions rather than businesses who would not favor them. But absolutely, parties come before judges that they have made political contributions to. And Michael George, who is a Republican from the central part of the state, said last night he thinks there should be automatic recusal when a party in a case is a significant contributor. Now, it's a little fuzzy
what significant right?
is, but none of the others would endorse that. They all said, look, I can shoot straight, and I'm not going to let these things affect me. Judge Wecht, the Allegheny County Democrat, did say he often recuses whether he is asked or not, if he thinks there's an issue, and he makes his reasoning public.
We've been naming some names here, so let me just complete the list talking. And this is from the Bar Association, Judge Ann Covey, not recommended for the reasons that Dave just described. Judge Christine Donahue, highly recommended. Judge Kevin Dougherty, recommended. Judge Michael George, recommended. Judge Judith Olson, highly recommended. Judge Paul Panapinto, recommended, and Judge David Wecht, highly recommended. So just people, those are people that you can vote for, and those were the status, I guess, coming from the Bar Association. How much money has flowed into these races, Dave?
The candidates themselves have done the fundraising, and it's really striking that the Democrats have done a far more effective job of raising money. They, as a group, have raised about $5.3 million as of the last filing. The Republicans, like a third of that, $1.4
million. Wow.
I'm a little puzzled by that, and one explanation somebody offered was, well, Democrats get unions and trial lawyers, and they are ready to be there, and they are there in big numbers. And particularly, you mentioned Kevin Dougherty. He is the brother of John Dougherty, the most powerful labor leader in this town. Whereas Republicans have to go to businesses one at a time and kind of donate their own money, and it's a little harder. There is, of course, the possibility, as we've seen in other states, of outside Republican ideological groups coming in and spending money. And that has happened in some places.
But it's not, or at least not so far, it hasn't happened in Pennsylvania?
It hasn't. And
I'm talking Koch brothers.
Yep. I mean, I'm surprised by this, and others I've spoken to are as well. There are kind of three big ones. One is Americans for Prosperity. That's associated with the Koch brothers. There's a group called the Republican State Leadership Committee. They raise and spend a ton of money. And then the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And all three of those have, in other states where partisan control of a Supreme Court is at issue, spent in some cases millions in independent efforts to support them. And I think a lot of people expected that would happen here, and they would attempt to associate the Democratic ticket with John Dougherty as a kind of, call him a union thug or whatever. I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying that would be a line of attack.
Sure.
Hasn't happened. They have bought no ads. Now, it's not to say they won't. Sometimes these folks come in late in the game. But, you know, we're getting the late innings here. I'm a little surprised.
Well, what's the thinking behind that, if you can get inside people's heads?
One theory is that it's an off-year election, and although there are more than a million more registered Democrats than Republicans in Pennsylvania, in an off-year, low-turnout election, the kind of passive turnout pattern will tend to favor Republican candidates. And so the thinking might be, don't tell anybody there's an election. Don't advertise, especially in the Philadelphia area. You do some targeted radio, and maybe Christian radio in the middle part of the state, and try and turn out your base, and you win that way. I'm not sure I believe that. I don't know if that's a conscious strategy, but the reality is you haven't seen a lot of spending by the Republicans.
Pennsylvania for Modern Courts has been lobbying for, what, decades now, Dave, to try to get away from electing judges and justices. They haven't been able to make any headway. Do you think there's any future in that? In Pennsylvania?
Well, I kind of feel like we should have Lynn Marks of Pennsylvanians for Modern Courts. She's been on the show, I know, many times, and ask her that question. In the 25 years I've been watching this legislature, it has been endorsed and favored at times by Governor Casey back in the 80s, by Governor Rendell in the 90s. But it's never been anybody's top priority, the kind of thing that makes them really throw all of their political capital behind it. And in a legislature like this, kind of only the urgent things tend to be done. So right. I don't see any immediate prospect of it.
And perhaps not a groundswell from voters. And as you said at the top of the show, and I agree with you, I think it's often hard to decide. If you're a committed voter, you want to really make the correct choice. It's sometimes hard to know. You get, yes, something from the Bar Association, but it's not a lot to go on.
You have that. Newspapers will eventually interview the candidates and make endorsements, and a lot of people pay attention to that. You can, at some point, see last night's debate on the website of Pennsylvania Cable Network, PCN-TV. I didn't seem to be there this morning when I looked, but, you know, you'll get a feel for them. The other thing, you might want to look at who their supporters are. Mm-hmm. In general, the Democrats are supported actively by the trial lawyers and a whole host of trade unions. The Republicans tend to be supported by business associations in the state, in some cases law enforcement and firefighters unions. And two of the Republican candidates have pro-life backers. And I should just – one is Ann Covey, supported by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, which also supports another Republican, Judith Olson. So if that matters to you, that's part of the picture.
And looking ahead, I was reading, Dave, that there are more retirements in the future, about a minute before we have to say goodbye here, one in 2016, one in 2017, and one in 2018. Does the governor then select – what's the process for, I guess – and there's, a mandatory retirement age. So is it just an opening there or someone
– I confess I'm fuzzy on this. It may be the governor with the consent of the Senate for an interim appointment. But eventually there are elections, and folks that have looked at this carefully and at the pattern of expected departures say that this election could very well determine partisan control of the court for years to come.
Well, on that note, as always, Dave Davies, thank you for joining us on Radio Times, this edition of Ballot Talks on Radio Times.
Good to be here.
Nice to have you here. And he's senior reporter. It was a very busy morning here at WHYY. And Dave is a senior reporter for WHYY's Newsworks. And check out his blog, Off Mic, and that's M-I-C. Coming up in the second and third portions of this edition of Ballot Talks on Radio Times, talking with candidates for mayor of Philadelphia, we have Osborne Hart at the doorway here, Socialist Workers Party candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Marty Moscoen. You're listening to Ballot Talks here on Radio Times on WHYY. There is a mayor's race in Philadelphia, and on this show we are featuring one-on-one interviews with the candidates. And our guest is Osborne Hart. He's running as the Socialist Workers Party candidate. He's an overnight stocker at Walmart, a lifelong activist. And Osborne Hart, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm sure our listeners are familiar with Bernie Sanders, who calls himself a democratic socialist, running obviously for the president of the United States. How are you similar or different when it comes to Bernie Sanders? I think that just might be helpful for our listeners.
Well, we're the Socialist Workers Party is a working class party, which has a long history in the United States, flowing from the early labor movement. Our party was founded in 1928, and through the labor struggles of the 1930s, increased membership, opposed to World War II, and was in the factories and plants in the United States as the labor movement grew and expanded. We're participated very heavily in the civil rights movement, that reflects in the program of the party, the continuity of the working class movement historically, too, going back to the Bolshevik Revolution and on through today.
And how does that message resonate or apply to Philadelphia today?
Well, we're a working class party, and we present a working class perspective and point of view because we feel that, and history has shown that the two parties, the Democrats and Republicans, there are two distinct classes in society and in the world and in the United States, the working class and the ruling class. And the working class is the class that produced the wealth in society, but we have no control of that wealth. It's dictated by a small minority of people, and the two parties, the Democrats and Republicans, represent those class interests. And that's what we present a working class perspective and program, and mobilizing the working class and our interests for the big social and political needs of working people.
You have a button on your shirt there, $15 an hour. Is that a centerpiece of what you're offering to the city of Philadelphia?
Well, yes. This is a very interesting thing. This has become a social movement for the last couple of years. And as a Walmart worker, we're fighting for the minimum wage and the unionization, regular work schedules. And that's what has happened to the working class and younger members of the working class. And now there's a resistance happening, and we've seen some results and some victories of that. $15 an hour is just the beginning. Our campaign calls for $15 now, not 2 years down, not 5 years down. And we've seen over the last 18 months or so with the independent mobilizations, not waiting on a candidate to say, I'll promise you $15 an hour if you vote for me. There's been mobilization street across the country. And we've seen results. Actually, the company I work for,
Walmart,
gave a little through the pressure of what was happening in the streets, raised their rates a little bit. But then they took back some of the hours and the like. But we've seen the California state system recently in New York, and even so, just recently in California again, the question of equal pay for women. That Jerry Brown just signed. And that, I think that reflects what the mobilizations were. And that's what we point to. And it's become a social movement. We participated in a number of the demonstrations, one most recently at Temple University for adjunct professors. And I work with many young women, single mothers. $15 an hour just is just a beginning. You know, it's not a living wage. And we call for a living wage. And no promises of down the road, but right now.
Well, you mentioned the fact that you work at Walmart, and Walmart, obviously one of the richest corporations in the world. What about that mom-and-pop store, you know, that hires someone that lives in the neighborhood? Can they afford to pay $15 an hour?
Well, the point is that wages, the question of wages and come from the bottom up. That's always an argument. Well, the small mom and pop store.
Right.
But if you look at Walmart and the monopolization of the giants like Walmart, it's the largest employer in the United States, the largest employer in the world, and that's quite significant.
And that's your target in a way.
Well, that's one of the many targets. And there's been a few victories of McDonald's, another huge international corporation. On the minimum wage, Target, you can go down the list, Starbucks, others, and that's all because of what's happened with this movement. That's what we talk about, and we think is very important as part of the solidarity that working people see and how we can move forward and begin to change things, because we feel our campaign, we say that it's not the elections, whoever wins the election in Philadelphia and, for that matter, in any other elections, the change does not come from the pulling that lever for that candidate. It comes from social change. It's always been movement in the streets, and that's the history of this country. Point to the civil rights movement as an example. Nobody waited on a Democrat or Republican to make those changes. Matter of fact, I was just in D.C. Last month on the anniversary of the Medicare, and they had big signs of Lyndon Johnson coming down and signing the bill. And I was interviewed by a number of particularly international reporters. Well, what do you think about this? And I said, you have to think about what was happening in 1965. Lyndon Johnson, a Dixiecrat, didn't come down that morning and said, oh, I'll sign this bill. There was mass movement in the streets, the civil rights movement, voting rights, which is under attack right here in this state. But there was an independent mobilization of working people, primarily African-American, but it was broad and it was across the country. And that's how that social change, which was a revolution in this country.
Let me just quickly reintroduce you. That's Osborne Hart, one of five mayoral candidates here in Philadelphia. He's running as the Socialist Workers Party candidate, the second of three guests in this hour of Radio Times. We have a third candidate running as an independent who'll be joining us in about 12 minutes or so. You can join us by calling 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Looking at some of the platform here, support the rights of workers who are immigrants. Obviously, cities like Philadelphia, a magnet for a number of immigrants. What more would you do to help immigrants in this city?
We call for unconditional legalization of immigrant workers.
So if you're here illegally, then you get citizenship?
Yes.
Automatic?
That's what our campaign is about, because we feel that these are fellow working people. Our perspective starts with the world, and Philadelphia is part of the world of working people. I mentioned Walmart, international company. So we feel that the solidarity with these workers who are coming for a better life, however they get here, is something that a working class program and solidarity with other working people, because we face the same things regardless of what part of the world we're in. This deep economic crisis that this system is, international system is seeing, and what it fosters. So, wars, the slow grinding, the depression that we see, low wages, elimination of some of the big social gains and attacks, whether it be health care, political rights. I mentioned the voting rights bill.
Right. Although Pennsylvania, in a sense, took care of that. I mean, there was an attempt to do voter ID, but basically the courts intervene, and we don't have that in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you see that as a victory.
Yes, because I think because of the solidarity and the legacy of that and what that represented in American society, the voting rights, the fact that it would be even a question, and that was raised by the Democrats and Republicans. That's something that is very important, and we see that as far as strengthening the working class in the United States, the solidarity with other workers who come from other countries.
You also call for a massive federally funded public works program to put millions of people back to work. Now, when President Obama took office, there was an attempt to try to create some version of that using federal money to try to build roads and infrastructure and bridges and things like that. It was short-lived. Many people felt it wasn't enough. You're saying you want the federal government to do even more of that, to invest deeper into infrastructure and things like that?
Yes. I'll give you an example. In this campaign, and of course many people saw the article in the Inquirer, of the top 10 cities, Philadelphia is number one at the deepest poverty and unemployment. Our unemployment is very high. So some of the things that have been raised in the debates and discussions, the one that our campaign has been part of, I have something else to say about that. But
I figured.
For example, here, there's been discussion, Mr. Kinney and others have talked about the energy hub here in Philadelphia and the Bakken oil that's coming through with the increase of trains by Philadelphia Energy Solutions, which is formerly Sunoco, as many of us know it that way. And the idea that the energy hub will create jobs and whatnot, which is true, but the question is what it will do for working people. And there's been obviously some opposition to it in terms of Philadelphia's one of the more polluted types with organic compounds coming in the air from the
some questions about safety
yeah,
and
yeah,
the
safety.
Environment.
But what's been happening on that is that, for example, my running mate for city council, John Staggs, was just up in Canada at Magantique, which is a demonstration. You may remember that the train came through there and killed 47 people.
It was out of control train, right?
Yes, yes. And that all points to the drive for profits and ignoring safety, whatnot. We saw it here right in Philadelphia. There were two tanker cars that hung over the Schuylkill for several days a year or so ago, and it, with this increased train traffic. And so the question of what we think people need energy, and while there are plans to make cleaner and safer energy, but we called for the existing energy systems to be made safer and cleaner. And part of that would be a massive public works program. That would be a concrete way, like in Philadelphia, to fix the rails, if you ever notice the trains that go through Philadelphia, right through North Philly and West Philly. They need – and the rail unions with the accident that happened with Amtrak, the rail unions have called – if there had been two people in that head-end of that Amtrak train – and the unsafe rails there, that's another safety measure. And the rail unions have been calling for that. But meanwhile, the rail companies, because of the drive for profit, they want to put one crew member. Now, deal with that, one crew member. So they're calling for, four people on every train. And the trains that go through with the oil to these refineries, bring back the caboose, have people on the end of the train, limit the number of cars, 50 cars. There's these cars that come through, hundreds of cars in one train, and you got two people running those oil trains through the middle of Philadelphia.
Well, and let me just again quickly reintroduce you. That's Osborne Hart. He is running as the Socialist Workers Party candidate for mayor of Philadelphia, one of five candidates running. And the race the election day is just a couple of weeks away. Boris Kindy is waiting in the wings, and he's running as an independent candidate. And on Radio Times, we have been doing one-on-one interviews with all the candidates for mayor of Philadelphia. And you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. You mentioned the energy hub. Those are union jobs, though, in many ways. I mean, part of this energy hub is seeing jobs that actually pay pretty well, that pay union wages. Do not support that?
Yes, we support. Matter of fact, part of the public works program would be to put people back to work at union-scale wages, a living wage, dovetails with the campaign around the minimum wage. And this is part of this would be the approach that working people need their own political party, a labor party, which would be a party of action and around these big questions in the interest of the majority and working people. And these questions are life and death questions. Oil trains coming through the fifth largest city, the potential of what happened in Canada.
Sure.
These are issues that are moral issues, life and death questions, not questions of economics. And so the idea that an independent labor party based on the unions of working people that would advance in action, advance ideas and social questions and health care, schools, you can go down the list of all the things that they're part of this crisis that they say is a crisis, but it's a crisis of their system, the capitalist system, and they're making us pay for it, working people.
Let me go back to your platform here. At the end is support Cuba's revolutionary leadership in its fight to defend and maintain its socialist revolution, demand that Washington end the blockade now and return Guantanamo to Cuba. Sounds like do you favor the warming relationship between Cuba and the United States? Are you afraid that socialist revolution will be undone by this new relationship?
No, I don't think it'll be undone. I think it's a testament to what the Cuban Revolution represented in 1959, which I'm a partisan, and my campaign is, and my party is, and supported that revolution. That was a revolution that workers and peasants in that country rid themselves of the U.S.-backed dictatorship and reorganize society in the interest of the people of Cuba, a very poor country, and for the last 56 years have faced a barrel of the gun from the U.S. government.
But that's changing,
That is changing, and that's a testament to that revolution and it's and what it represented throughout the world. And the U.S. began to see that they had to go a different route to counter that revolution and overthrow it. But it's just a testament to how strong that is and what it means for when working people wrest the resources and the power, the political power and the economic means, and use it in the interest of the majority of people. And that's a testament to
Although it looks like the Cuban people are welcoming this relationship with the United States, hoping that their standard of living will improve.
Well, yes, ending the embargo, returning Guantanamo back to the Cuban people. I mean, it's their land and whatnot. And the U.S. has used it since, I believe, 1910 when they arrested. And it has become a torture chamber. This is Gitmo, as it's known, Guantanamo. All the
even story, under Obama.
Even under Obama. There's still prisoners there.
There are, but they're not being waterboarded as they had been before.
Well,
you don't believe that?
I think that the it's a prison, and people unjustly held in prison. So I can't say to the fact of what's going on inside there, except what's been revealed before, and the detainees of that. And one of the promises, again, from a Democratic president that was going to be closed. He's been in his second term.
Well, he couldn't get it through Congress.
Yeah. Well, that's the excuse. But
you think he could have? He could have gotten it closed somehow?
I think.
And gotten
prisoners back
to the U.S.?
I don't know. I don't know. But I think the Democrats and Republicans represent the same interests of the ruling class in this country. And till the pressure is and the mobilization from the masses of people and the demands of the Cubans that be returned to them.
Well, we have to end our discussion. Osborne Hart, thank you for joining us on Radio Times, again running as the Socialist Workers Party candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. We'll be right back. I'm Marty Moskowing. Welcome back to Ballot Talks on Radio Times. There's a mayor's race here in Philadelphia. In fact, in less than a month, Philadelphians will be going to the polls to vote for mayor. There are five candidates this fall, including our guest, Boris Kindy, who is running as an independent candidate. He was born in Croatia, moved to the Philadelphia area in 2000. He works as a property manager. And Boris Kindy, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Why are you running for mayor of Philadelphia? I mean, this is not a spoiler here, Boris, but you're not going to win, but there's a reason that you're running. Why are you running?
Well, everybody's got a chance. Being born and raised in Zagreb, Croatia, I spent 20 years of my life. And what I've seen, what destroyed the city with the 1 million citizens, was the political corrupt mafia. And I've seen a lot of similarities here in Philadelphia. So I do compare it in some aspects to the city government.
You're saying the Philadelphia City Council is like the mafia?
Well, political mafia.
Political mafia?
Correct, yes.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that actually that they play pay-to-play politics. And it's a one group of people, business and political, they hold everything in their hands. So there's no chance for other people to enter the political life and to spread a real democracy in Philadelphia.
You say you want to eliminate poverty, and I think anyone and everyone in this city, working in this city, running for office in the city would like to eliminate poverty. How would you do that?
Okay, let me tell you my vision. How do I see myself after 4 years of my administration? After 4 years of my administration, many jobs will be created in Philadelphia.
How?
Well, what I'm going to do is that 50 minimum wage will be increased and enforced through the change in Philadelphia's BRT code. For-profit business entities that will apply Philadelphia's $15 minimum wage schedule will be paying a lower business income tax. The ones that will not be applying $15 minimum wage schedule will be paying a higher business income tax.
Let me just stop you there because I want to make sure our listeners understand. You're saying so if a business in the city pays $15 an hour for a wage, they would get some kind of a tax relief.
Oh, that is correct, yes.
And if they didn't, they would get a tax penalty?
That is correct. And I'll tell you why. Because if we send lawyers, attorneys actually, to Harrisburg to fight to get a minimum wage, there is no way. Because the Republicans imposed by the law, I believe in 2006, that no cities, municipalities, and towns are allowed to change the wage. And that's the biggest issue. So the only way we have to think out of the box.
So the idea is to use a carrot and a stick to
that
try to—
That is absolutely correct, yes.
Okay. You also talk about lowering the real estate tax, the wage tax, and investing in public schools. Now, public schools depend in many ways on money from the state, but also from property taxes. If you lower the property tax or the real estate tax, how are you going to get money for the schools?
Okay. Let me just finish with the $15 minimum wage first. What I will create is a 10-year tax-free zone program. Which will be created under my supervision, which will attract various-sized businesses to move to Philadelphia. Businesses under this program will be hiring at least 25 employees, paying $15 minimum wage, and paying an annual membership. Gradually, that's going to be increased over the years to the city of Philadelphia. Also, a 10-year tax abatement will be extended to 20 years for all properties under $250,000. Much-needed jobs will be created in our underdeveloped and poor neighborhoods. A Philadelphia Public Security Officer agency, the largest in the nation, will be established and employing up to 10,000 employees. A city-contracted major U.S. private security provider will be hiring, training, and supervising qualified returning and underprivileged citizens and transforming them into good and productive citizens.
All right. Well, let me stop you there. And I know you're reading off a platform, but I want you to talk to me, okay, so we can have a conversation. Obviously, you're interested in alleviating poverty, as you said, also in figuring out how to get money to the schools. But how do you do that?
Okay. All right. So this is what's going to happen. All right. The funds for schools and pensions will be coming from prompt, delinquent, and non-delinquent tax collections.
So all the delinquent properties and things.
Right. They're like a $1.2 billion that's being uncollected right now. That's a huge issue. That means we don't have the advocate administration that is doing their jobs. Also, I will establish pilot, either voluntarily or via statutory measures, and also mandatory contributions from Comcast and PPA. I will also sell the PGW. We can also get funds from the tax-free zone annual memberships that the businesses will be paying to the city of Philadelphia. We'll also be getting new additional tax revenues from the rapid job growth, public and private, and new real estate developments, residential and commercial, and labor, and then also from the labor union reforms.
Well, let me stop you on PGW. The current mayor tried to sell PGW, wasn't able to get it past city council. How would you be able to do that?
We have to come with a compromise. We know that the city of Philadelphia is having huge issues with the pensions, and which is destroying the city financially. We're going to have to talk with the labor unions because who holds the labor unions? The real power in the city is Johnny Dog, and we all know over
John Dougherty.
That is correct, yes. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go through the pension reforms, actually for the labor union reforms. What's going to happen is that the retirement age for new city employees will be increased. Their contribution
into the retirement age.
Right. Their contribution into pension fund and insurance will be increased as well. Healthcare costs and spending will stay within city government's control. And also, all new employees will be joining the city's hybrid pension plans called Plan 10, which is similar to 401k. That is the only way to save the city of Philadelphia. There's no other way.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about city council as a kind of political mafia, but what you've described there is sounds like you're giving the mayor a lot more authority than he or she has.
Well,
terms of negotiating things or making things happen.
Okay. Politics is a dirty game. Okay. Everything what's happening is behind the closed doors. So we're all going to have to negotiate and come up with the final solution. I mean, we all love Philadelphia and we all want to benefit the city of Philadelphia.
You also talk about, and I'm looking at some of your ideas here, trash collection privatization will be the first thing on my agenda. I will not tolerate filthy streets in Philadelphia anymore. How are you going to privatize?
Okay. First of all, my main agenda is to bring $15 minimum wage to City of Philadelphia. The privatization of the trash collection is going to have to come sooner or later because for the last so many years, I mean, the Philadelphia has been filthy. I, as a property manager, I've been walking through the streets of Philadelphia, and it's just disgusting. The only way I can see it right now is to talk with the city council and tell them that we need to get some outsiders into the game.
But do you think that's the way it works?
Well, you'll never know if you don't try.
You also say here, to deliver long-lost honesty, integrity, trust, respectability, and accountability back to city government, I've made a decision to invite Sam Katz into your administration. Why Sam Katz? Now, he's run for mayor several times in the city, came very close. But what is it about him that you find so attractive?
Well, I truly believe he's a real patriot of the city of Philadelphia from what I read and what I've seen.
Have you ever met him?
No, but I mean, listening to the gentleman and reading his ideas about how to save the city, I'm definitely see the gentleman and having experience with a lot of people, not only in Philadelphia, from all around the world, that Mr. Sam Katz is a true patriot for Philadelphia, and he will be able to do with his people, his leadership as well, to contribute greatly to the city of Philadelphia.
But if he couldn't win, become mayor of Philadelphia, how do you think you could?
Well,
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's good that there are non-mainstream party candidates running for office. But I think you also have to be realistic that it's not going to happen. But at the same time, you probably have some ideas that are interesting that people need to talk about and think about.
Well, it is true. But you never know in life. Life is unexpected. So as a property manager, I spend a lot of time on the streets of Philadelphia. And I met a lot of people. And what's decisive in this race is actually what's happening on the streets of Philadelphia.
And what do you see? I mean, you said they're dirty, obviously, from what you say.
Okay. Well, for the 4 months I was walking through the streets of Philadelphia, it's not all about the trash. The thing that actually I really completely dislike is that the power that I've seen on the streets of Philadelphia. I met so many nice guys and girls on the streets of Philadelphia who want jobs. They want jobs. They don't have hope. They don't have future. Nothing.
Let me reintroduce you. That's Boris Kindy. He is running for mayor of Philadelphia as an independent candidate. He was born in Croatia. In fact, fought during the War of Independence?
That is correct. That is correct.
And moved to the Philadelphia area in about the year 2000. Do I have that right?
That is correct, yes.
And he also works as a property manager. You can join the conversation. Call us at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. How did you end up in Philadelphia?
It was just by pure coincidence. I graduated from the University of New Hampshire back in 1998 and ended up going to Minneapolis and Chicago. I work at Chicago Board of Trade and Mercantile Exchange. I ended up going to Denver, Colorado to work with one of my friends in an investment banking company.
So you've been around this country, right?
Right, yeah. And I just came here for the job.
So
You see, Denver, Colorado for me was a beautiful city, but it was in the middle of nowhere. And it was too far from Europe. And also, I love ocean. And since I already lived like for several years in the state of New Hampshire and enough is a part of the country, I just wanted to get closer to the Atlantic Ocean.
So why do you want to run for mayor, though? I mean, there has to be a reason that you want to do this.
Well, here's the thing. I hate injustice and unfairness. And that's the main reason why I want to do something for Philadelphia, for its people. Around 26% of citizens live in extreme poverty. Mm-hmm. And there's an art of survival on the streets. And there are two Philadelphias. There's a so-called, I can say, white Philadelphia, which is like practically center city of Philadelphia, and the neighborhoods. And quite honestly, I don't see any of the city politicians care about the neighborhoods, about the poverty. They talk with neighborhood leaders only when it's time to get, you know, their votes, and that's about it. I mean, this story has been like going for years and years and years, and nobody's doing nothing. So I just want to do something.
But why mayor? I mean, you could work for a nonprofit. You could. I mean, there's so many things that you could do to address the things that you clearly care about.
Yeah, but as a mayor, I mean, a lot of people are going to hear me.
But you're not going to be mayor. You're not. I'm sorry.
Everybody deserves and gets a chance in life.
I agree.
So you never know. I understand the whole thing, the politics in the city, but whatever is happening on the ground, it's decisive. And I met a lot of people. I've walked through the streets of Philadelphia. I mean, thousands and thousands of people. So we'll see. You never know.
No, it's true. You never know. You talk about useless battles with Harrisburg. That's one of the things that you describe in your letter about your candidacy. Does that mean turn your back on Harrisburg, that we don't need to deal with the state legislature?
Absolutely correct. Yes.
Even though they fund, you know, a lot of things that happen in this city?
Well, here's the thing. When I said it, I meant by fighting for the minimum wage for $15 an hour. That's one thing. The other thing is that I completely agree with the Governor Wolf to abolish School Reforms Commission and to have a democratically elected school board of Philadelphia. Because right now I consider strongly that the current administration has been ineffective and corrupt.
That is Boris Kindy, and he is running for mayor of Philadelphia as an independent candidate. One of our one-on-one interviews with all the candidates running for mayor of Philadelphia. And I'm Marty Moscone. You listen to Radio Times here on WHYY. What do you suggest doing about the schools?
Okay, that's a little bit complicated question.
Sure.
As a mayor of Philadelphia, my job would be to provide funds. So I'm not professional in that aspect. But everything starts from homes. Okay, that's number one.
The kind of home the children grow up in.
That is correct. Yes. And we have, as a mayor of Philadelphia and the whole Philadelphia city government, we have to provide the adequate schools, really good schools, for the sake of future of the children of Philadelphia. And not only for the whites, but for the whole races, they have to have equal opportunity to get education.
But how do you create good schools across
we
the
have,
city?
Well, we have to provide.
And there are some good schools.
Yeah, there are some good schools. But, I mean, you see that it's a major crisis, not only in Philadelphia, but in the whole state of Pennsylvania. As I said, we have to get the competent administration. And I think that we have all necessary funds to provide the resources for the education, for the public schools. Now, if you see, for example, the salaries of administration, and, I mean, do they really deserve that? And they're still employing more administrators.
Actually, that's not correct. I mean, since Superintendent Height has come here, they've actually reduced the number of people in administration.
I heard a different story.
We have an email from Jennifer. She says, as an independent candidate, what's your position on election reforms that would open up the process to independents? Do you think this city is too tough on independent candidates like yourself?
Absolutely. I would like to say that I strongly support Bernie Sanders, okay, because he's actually independent candidate, but he had to join the Democratic Party in order to become the competitor to Hillary Clinton. Okay, but this gentleman is a real deal. Okay, and myself, and I'm pretty sure a vast majority of younger generation are definitely supporting Bernie Sanders. And if I had a chance, I definitely think that the state of Philadelphia or on a national base that somebody should establish the independent party.
Okay, well, fair enough. And that's Boris Kindy, and he's running as an independent for mayor of Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us on Radio Times.
My pleasure.
And I'm Marty Moscone, and thanks for joining us on Radio Times as well. And do stay with us. We'll be right back.